Call the meeting to order. This is Senate Resources, April 7th. It's 3:40 in the afternoon. Members present are Senator Stevens, Senator Elton, Senator Dyson, and myself, Senator Wagoner. Have before us again today House Bill 218, Private Hatchery Cost Recovery Fisheries. Ian?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Ian Fisk, staff for Representative Thomas. And if you'd like, I'll just take a minute to explain the changes in this CS.
Sure.
Okay. So the current draft that you have before you is version 0544/W. And the changes I'm referring to are those relative to version R, which was before you, or it's technically still before you now. On page 1, lines 6 through 7, the term contractees is replaced by the phrase persons under contract, and then the phrase under a permit from the department is added to clarify that ADF&G issues permits for harvest of salmon by hatcheries and special harvest areas, and that the Board of Fisheries writes the regulations.
Slow down a minute. I've got it now. I'm sorry. I misplaced my bill.
Okay.
Would you start over again?
Yes.
Apologize.
On page 1, lines 6 through 7, the new language reads that a hatchery permit holder may harvest salmon for a facility in a special harvest area through agents or employees of or persons under contract with the permit holder as provided under a permit from the department or regs of the Board of Fisheries. And this is just a clarification suggested by Department of Law and Fish and Game. It's not a substantive change. And that's just in referring to special harvest areas where they're already doing cost recovery. This bill more specifically refers to terminal harvest areas. Also on page 1, line 13, we added in the phrase at the request of the hatchery permit holder, and this was inserted in response to some of the concerns that were brought up by one particular hatchery when they met with fishermen during the fall meeting of the United Fishermen of Alaska. So it was done during the interim, but we just added it in at this point. A similar change at their suggestion is on page 2, line 2. When the term if is changed to when, that doesn't really appear to me to make any difference in how that's worded, but it made the hatchery operator more comfortable, so we did that. On page 2, line 8, again, a technical clarification requested by the Department of Law just cites the statute under which the Board of Fish may adopt regulations. It just reads more legalistically, Mr. Chairman. Cites 1605-251. On page 2, we made a fairly large change here since the other day, since some of the suggestions of NSRA. They wanted to make sure that any fish caught under this program would have to be sold to a licensed buyer. The previous language that was in there was just kind of boilerplate language dealing with fisheries taxation that still would have allowed them to sell to direct market through a direct market scenario, which is unrealistic in this fishery anyway, but we wanted to just add that clarification at the request of NSRA. And so that's on that's basically what they had asked for the other day. We also, in speaking with NSRA yesterday, they wanted to have a timeline. They said there were no timelines, so we asked them, well, when would you need to know from Department of Revenue what the assessment rate would be? And they thought that March 1st would work well for them. And so we added that in on page 2, line 26. On page 3, line 7 of the draft you have before you, version W, we upped the maximum rate of the assessment to 50%. The proponents of the bill had wanted it to be a max of 40. This was kind of a compromise for the maximum rate. And the last change that was made here was in this version was page 3, subsection F. This was changed in order to the Department of Law thought that in terms of the prosecuting any potential violations under this, it would be good to be able to use strict liability, which applies to violations, or since we had original language making it a misdemeanor, strict liability does not apply to misdemeanors. They have to prove intent. And this would make, this change makes it easier to enforce from the state's point of view, because they can prosecute under either strict liability as a violation, or they could, you know, prosecute under a misdemeanor. We just wanted to make sure that there was good teeth in the penalty provisions, Mr. Chairman. So those are the changes that we made in this version. We've also made several other accommodations at the suggestions of the hatcheries, of one particular hatchery, NSRA, along the way. And we originally had some language about findings that, in the original version of the bill, we had a section that said that there was findings, the legislature finds that, that it's in the best interest of the fishing fleet to minimize the direct sale of salmon by a hatchery, and that wherever possible it should be done through a common property fishery. That pretty much tracks what the whole intent of the hatchery program was to begin with, but because they had some heartburn about that, we agreed it's just findings, we took that out. We also have done, well, we actually agreed that the 3% salmon enhancement tax should apply to these fish, which was another request of theirs, and we'd done that in a previous draft as well, for a previous committee. And all the way along, as I said the other day, we've done everything we can to allay their concerns that this language will somehow become mandatory, and that it would not be supported by the sponsor, and it wouldn't make any sense to make it mandatory, so it's not. It's still optional. Nothing changes in this work draft that you have before you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. Any questions by committee members?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stedman.
Glad to be here. Just in time. I got an amendment, but there's a glitch in the drafting, so I'm a little late today with it. But let me just put it on the table as a concept, and we'll deal with it later on down the cycle. And I missed part of your earlier testimony, so maybe this, some of the stuff's been addressed. But basically, it just clean up that it takes a vote of the board of directors, a two-thirds vote, to opt in. And then there's a one-year delay, which would make sure that the administration has time to have all of the regulations written and in place. I'm a little hesitant to get too carried away on regulations unless somebody's going to actually use this. And then there'd be a second look at it by the hatchery, take another two-thirds vote to opt in. And then once they're in for a year at least. So they can't opt in for 4 or 5 months and jump out in the middle of the season or something like that. They're going to be in, and but we can get together and work out some of the details. But in essence, that's what it is. It's to clean up so the issue, so they can't just come in and out. And if they decide to come in, they get a second chance to look at the, in case the regulations have not been fully drafted, so they can get a better idea of the potential impact or risk inherent in it. And then again, with the two-thirds vote, making sure that they have a legitimate board presence there when the decision is made, and then it's just up to the hatchery, controlled by the board members, and what they want to do.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, we'd be glad to meet with you in the meantime and discuss your proposals and work with you on that.
Just a question of Senator Stedman. When you're talking about a one-year delay, you're talking about a one-year delay on the opt-in, not a one-year delay on the effective date of the bill.
Correct.
Okay.
Any further questions? Senator Stevens, are you going to have a question?
Yeah. It goes back to a comment you made earlier about 3% salmon enhancement tax. And if I recall, I got the wrong chapter. Hatchery fish don't pay the salmon enhancement tax.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, right, if they're
harvested by the cost recovery program, they don't pay it.
Through the chair, that's correct. In this case.
But the hatcheries are the ones that insisted that this cost recovery fish is paid because the fishermen are landing it outside of their mechanism?
Through the chair, that's correct. They were saying because it's going to be under a common property cost recovery system, that they wanted to make sure that they could get the 3% tax.
But where does the revenue go?
It goes to the hatcheries as well, Senator Stevens.
The revenue that they use to harvest the fish pays the hatchery?
Through the chair, if I'm following you correctly, yeah, I mean, whatever they get with the regular assessment and through this bill would apply, but they wanted to make sure that the 3% would apply as well.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, and I need to walk through this. This is an addition that you put in from the previous version, is that right?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Stevens, I don't even remember which committee it was that we put that in, which version of the bill, but it was on one of the House committees. It was one of the first things that they wanted to make sure that applied to these fish as well, in addition to the
Let me get this straight. The total rate on page 3 lines 7 and 8, the total rate of the assessment may not exceed 50% of the value of the salmon. So that's the assessment that goes back to the cost recovery program.
Right. Yes, sir.
And then so the remaining portion would be in addition to the salmon enhancement tax?
Well, Senator Stevens, the way I see it is that they wanted to make sure that wouldn't be deducted because they didn't want to say, well, that the salmon enhancement tax doesn't apply to these fish and therefore wouldn't be included. So they wanted to reiterate that while they don't pay tax on that fish now because it's cost recovery, in this case they wanted to say that it would under this common property kind of combination fishery.
But the harvester pays the tax under 4376.001, right?
I don't have, Senator Stevens, I don't have that right in front of me.
That's the salmon enhancement tax is paid by the harvester. And then the harvester, in agreement with the cost recovery fish, is paying up to 50% assessment on the fish that's being harvested. And then the 50% is going to the hatchery within the special harvest area, and the 3% is going to the state, which again reappropriates it back to the hatchery program.
Through the chair, that actually all of it is going to, this revenue with this maximum 50% rate is also going to go through the state just by the same mechanism as the salmon enhancement tax.
I guess the confusion point I have is Mr. Chairman, if this is a system for harvesters to pay cost recovery and harvesting in a special terminal area that will be subject to the salmon enhancement tax,
3%,
in addition to the agreement that they're contracting with the operator of the terminal area or the special harvest area.
53%.
It's 53%, or up to 53%. And so I find it, I just don't understand the logic of why the hatchery operator would say, well, you need to pay more into the cost recovery mechanism than the agreement they're already making.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, quite frankly, I didn't quite understand what they were getting at either. I wanted to make sure that I think they wanted to be sure that it wouldn't be deducted or something to that effect from whatever rate was applied by the department under this program, because it's an open access fishery, and so the same tax should apply to all the fish in the region. But
I mean, I mean, if they're going to, if I might, Mr. Chairman,
let me try it. The 50% goes to the hatchery that's in the harvest area. Does the 3% also go to that hatchery, or does the 3% go back to be distributed the same as all the rest of the 3% assessment throughout Southeastern?
Through the chair, all of the revenue here, all the revenue collected under this would go back to the Regional Aquaculture Association to meet their general cost recovery budget. It would not be directed at a particular hatchery, so it's really all going to them by the, through the same kind of mechanism.
They're getting a 53% assessment instead of the standard 3%. Senator Elton?
On this point, if you don't mind, Senator Stevens.
No, go ahead.
I mean, when I looked at, and I may have just fundamentally missed this issue, because when I look on page 3, line 7, it says the total rate of assessment may not exceed 50%. So I guess I assumed that the 3% plus 47% would total 50%, and it wouldn't go higher than 50%.
Through the chair, Senator Elton, I believe that's the way it reads as well, that, you know, that the total rate of assessment may not exceed 50%, and that's why I think that what they were really getting at was not wanting to have anything, you know, if the 3% wasn't, you know, wasn't applicable to these fish, I guess they could argue that it would be deducted from whatever rate was set here, and I think they're just trying to make sure that it's inclusive of that.
Senator Stedman?
Ollie. My colleagues are working on that circle. If we go to page 3, line 1, it's where it talks about the development and the maintenance of a reserve fund, Mr. Mm-hmm. Chairman, of up to 100% of the annual operating costs. I'm not quite sure what this means. Does it mean that there should be a separate account on the balance sheet, asset account, with 100% of the operating costs carried? Or does this reserve fund mean just the equity in the on the balance sheet, or what is this? I'm not sure what it is.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, this language was inserted into the bill at the request of the Department of Law. Most of the language in subsection D is intended to reiterate the taxation authority of the Department of Revenue. And in order to be more specific, I wanted to list some of the things that the department would be looking into to determine what the rate would be. And the language about a reserve fund is in there, mainly to be able to tell that the hatchery is in a financial position where it makes sense to try this. I mean, if a hatchery is in a doesn't have the reserve fund available, it's not going to be in a good position to take this road of cost recovery.
But I read this on the previous page on line 30. It says the rate of assessment shall provide sufficient revenues to cover debt service to the state, reasonable operating expenses, reasonable maintenance costs. So it says the rate of assessment shall be covering these costs, the development and the maintenance of a reserve fund to 100% of the annual operating costs.
And if I may, Senator Stedman, I think that's in recognition of the fact that they can use some of the revenue, which there's already language like that in the existing statute that deals with what the sale of salmon and salmon eggs is, you know, what the proceeds may be used for. And it's just in recognition of the fact that a reserve fund is a good idea for unforeseen circumstances such as a small run, which we all know can happen regardless of what system of cost recovery we have.
I'm just confused, Mr. Chairman, if the language means they have to be in a strong financial position on day one when this is implemented, or if they have to have a separate restricted asset account and hold 100% of their operating income aside for, I guess I'm struggling with the mechanics of that.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, I don't think it's saying that they have to. It's saying that it's one of the things that the rate of assessment has to take into account that hatcheries do this with, you know, setting up reserve funds, and that it should be sufficient to include that as one of their methods of, you know, one of their ways of doing business and budgeting. And the hatchery NSRA would definitely tell you that they do keep a big reserve fund, and they would want to include that in something that the proceeds, that the rating is inclusive of as a standard budget item of theirs.
I guess to me this kind of defines the fact that here's what you should be doing when you set your rate. In other words, a rate of assessment. So you got to be able to do all these things. And you got to keep that in mind when you determine how far toward that 50% you go.
And I think at one point, as I recall, Senator Stedman, that, you know, the hatcheries have said, or the hatchery that is concerned about this, said that they wanted to make sure that that the reserve fund was included because of the fact that it is part of their regular budget.
If I could, Mr. Chairman. No, the challenge I have is, you know, I don't ever recall seeing something on a balance sheet called a reserve fund. A lot of people call reserves as they're either referring to net equity or sinking funds, or people are putting away money for major maintenance or what have you. So it just it seems odd language and hard to define. I think, well, I get the impression what they're trying to say is when you set the rate, it should equal 100% of the normal operating revenue that it would take to run the hatchery, whatever that is.
Well, through the chair, Senator Stedman, I'd be glad to work with you to clarify that. You know, I think my understanding of it is that it's a reserve fund that they keep to be able to cover unforeseen expenses, and it's a normal part of their budget. I'm not sure if there's another term that they would use for it in their accounting, that whatever's on their books, but that's the way they testified in previous hearings and previous committees. That's how they referred to it as well, but you would certainly know a lot better than I about what, if there's a more proper term that they should use. I'm sure that we can work with the Department of Law who wrote part of that section there to make sure that it keeps everybody comfortable about what that language means.
Further questions for Senator Stedman?
Another point while my colleague here is digging through the paperwork. On line 10, page 3, I recognize under the current system that the 3% tax gets washed through the state and then back to the industry. But it just always makes me a little bit cautious when, like under this bill, the revenue would take to run a hatchery would go to the state, and then there'd be a delay. Some, you know, they collect it, and then we'd meet as a legislature and we would appropriate it back to the hatchery, and that takes legislative action.
I can address that if you want me to.
Yeah, I like that because
from a historical point of view, the original legislation allowed each aquaculture association when it was established to establish a assessment. Some of them have 2%, some of them have 3%, some of them came up with 1%.
Now they can go to 30%.
Well, I think they can go to 5%.
No,
is it?
Pardon me, Mr. Chairman. SAM task force allowed that to go as high as 30% if elected by the regional qualified association.
Well, originally, I think the bill was 5%. But anyway, and then it was determined that it was illegal for the state to put in statute and give a nonprofit the ability to levy the tax and collect it. So then they made a deal with the state that the state would collect the assessment, and then the state would turn around and it would just be a pass-through and give it back. And they have always done that. There's never been any question about how that was handled. I was on the Aquaculture Association in our area when that happened. And that's the way that came about. So it's kind of a cumbersome way to do things, but it's necessary because state law prohibits doing it any other way. So that was the easy fix that Mr. Tillian came up with at the time when he was a senator.
Well, I understand that. I understand the concept of, well, we can't have dedicated revenue sources and stuff. It just, as time marches on, we seem to have less concentration of population along the coast and more in the centralized part of the community in the interior. And it always makes you a little gun-shy when we have to rely on an annual appropriation when, from time to time, there is a little monkey business that goes on for political leverage in the building. Not that it would ever happen to the hatchery.
I'm not aware of it ever happening. It's been 30-some years. But it could happen. It could happen at any time. I agree. But it's always been pretty well recognized that it hasn't happened. Further questions, comments, Senator Stevens?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I finally tracked down where it was changed. From the original bill, if we go to the final section,
talking about the 3%.
No, the exemption. The original bill in section 3, well, I don't know what section. No, excuse me, the top of page 4. It says, for the exemption except as provided under B of this section. Well, let me read you what the original bill said. The original bill said exemption, and this is the exemption to the salmon enhancement tax. Right? So 4376001 through 040 do not apply to salmon harvested under a special harvest area permit issued under 1643-400, which is 1643-400 is the hatchery permit, or common property fishery conducted in a special harvest area. So the original bill said that all salmon harvested under a special harvest area are not subject to the salmon enhancement tax. Right? From the original bill sponsors?
That's correct, Senator Stevens.
So Senate House Finance Committee made a change and said, as we read the new language, in version W, which is the same throughout, says, except provided under B, of this section, taxes under do not apply to salmon harvested in their special harvest area. And then B is a new section. It says salmon harvested in common property conducted in a terminal harvest area are subject to the enhancement tax. So, okay, so we know now that the common property fish harvested in a special area harvest are taxed to salmon enhancement tax. Right. Now, if we go back to what we talked about on the up to 50%, the up to 50% is under 1610.445, which is a new subsection, which allows the department to do an assessment by regulation. It's not a tax. It's an additional assessment on top of an existing tax, because the tax that is created under Section 2 is the salmon enhancement tax, and the regulatory assessment created under Section 1 is on top of it. So it's an additional tax. And so I guess the question that comes down, and so I finally have rooted into the answer, is why are we charging double for cost recovery fish in a terminal area for that's caught, one's caught by common property fishery or fishermen, the other one is harvested specifically under contract by the hatchery operator, the private nonprofit, or the regional aquaculture association. I find that I need some definition of why we're doing that to the common property fish when it's at terminal area.
Well, through the chair, Senator Stevens, thanks for the correction on that, because of the fact that they're two different taxes. I think
one's an assessment,
so they would basically be stacked upon each other. So I stand corrected about what the total rate language on line 7 there would be separate. But I want to make sure to be clear that we're only talking about common property fish that are taken for the cost recovery at this terminal harvest area under this program.
And I agree that we've all decided that it's fish harvested in a special harvest area or a terminal harvest area. And I don't want to hold the bill up, but there's...
Mr. Thorson...
And obviously, they agreed to it, or maybe they didn't agree to it, because they didn't know that it was a double line, but I think that it's, it may be a little onerous that the harvester is treated one way versus a harvester operating under contract in the same terminal area.
And through the chair, what Senator Stevens, I don't think we'd have, again, I don't think the sponsor would have any heartburn with changing that back.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Bob Thorsonson, President of UFA, Executive Director of Southeast Senators. Through the chair, Senator Stevens, you're correct. What we discovered early on in this process, early on last spring, was that the hatchery's concerned, and legitimately so. Currently, for example, the hatchery had 25% of its fish extricated under a cost recovery program. Those fish are not subject to the 3% tax. Those 75% that the fleet catches currently are subject to the 3%. Now, if we took this cost recovery system as a whole and placed a 25% assessment, had the fleet catch all 100% of the fish, and now there's no more cost recovery fishery by individuals like myself who have done cost recovery in the past, they would be gaining the 3% on the 25% that now doesn't get taxed on. But if we didn't do any 3% tax, they saw themselves losing on that 75%, which they normally would be collecting the tax on. So it's a little bit confusing, but what it was, from our position, this was one of NSRAD's perhaps first of their 40 or 50 different demands that they placed on this legislation, and we felt that it was very appropriate and that they would be much more likely to help promote this legislation and move it along if we gave up to this demand, and so that's what we did.
Kind of like what we're forcing the oil companies to do, right? Take more tax so you can do business?
But, you know, my guys are the blue-collar guys that are just trying to make a living and catch the fish, and they're the guys that pay for the fish. They pay to raise the fish. They pay taxes to create the fish. They pay the taxes that pay the salaries of the people that make the fish and pay for the food to feed the fish.
Well, I appreciate your explanation of that, and like I said, I don't want to hold the bill up, but I do want to make one comment, and I'm going to follow this and work with it. But again, the recipient of the cost recovery at the terminal area is the hatchery at the terminal area, not the Regional Aquaculture Association.
In this case, it's the same, because the Regional Aquaculture Association, right. Yes. In the case that we're looking at, it's the same. It's not always going to be the same.
It's not always going to be the same. But in this case, it is the same.
Yep.
But even if it wasn't the same, a hatchery knows what its needs are to recoup the financial revenue from the cost recovery program. So they set a cost. They set their rates of operation. They say we have cost recovery target to meet this, to meet our operational procedures and the retirement of our capital expenditures, and that's set. So if the question I have is if they have contracts and if it goes back in and it's caught at common property and they get 50%. And that's what they're going to get. I don't understand why they need the extra 3%. I don't know why we need to stack it. If it's there's been a system in place that says we're going to harvest assessment at terminal area for cost recovery, and it's either common property or it's under contract. It's still the same amount of money. It's just a matter of one is under contract, one is common property. And the common property fisherman is paying probably a higher assessment rate and also a higher tax rate. And I don't know if that's quite reasonable just to meet the needs of the hatchery operator. The hatchery operator is going to receive his revenue one way or another. And with that, I'll follow it upstairs, and I'll be quiet, because everyone's looking at me like I'm, like they agree with me, but they don't want to hold the bill up, so I won't hold the bill up anymore.
But the only time probably that 3% would come into play is when you reach the maximum of the 50%, wouldn't it?
No.
Because 50% isn't a set percent. You can't exceed the 50%. Yeah, it may be 27%.
But here's the issue, and in my mind, it's an issue of fairness. Now you have two mechanisms of harvesting in the terminal area or the special harvest area. One is a harvester that's under contract under cost recovery with the hatchery operator. One is a common property fisherman that's allowed to go in there when it's open for open property fishermen. So there's two classes of harvesting mechanisms going in there, and one has the salmon enhancement and the other one does not. So fairness in my mind would say if you're going to assess the salmon enhancement tax in a special harvest area, it should be for all fish harvested in there, not just those that are in that final piece that said except under B. So the exemption clause should be eliminated.
I'm not sure I agree with you. I think I know what they're talking about. If you're harvesting for the hatchery, let's say the hatchery is requiring 38%. Okay, so whatever you harvest, hatchery gets 38% of it, right? By contract with the people that are harvesting for the hatchery. That 38% will include then the 3%.
Presumably, that would include the 3%. The
common property fishermen, doesn't matter where they go in Southeastern, they pay 3% of whatever they catch.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, that's where we're in disagreement, because the fish that are harvested under special permit by the hatchery operator are exempt from the 3%.
Oh, okay, so they don't pay the 3%.
They don't
on
pay
the current
it.
Cost recovery,
yeah, they are exempt.
On current or on this bill?
In statute.
Currently.
Current statute, but this changes it.
No, this changes it, but only applies to fish that are harvested under common property. It doesn't remove the exemption for the cost recovery program. We got notes flying all over the place. Whether it's worth 3% of Humpies in Ensura, you know, the time we were spending on this, but I think it's an issue in fairness, yeah, to me that if you're harvesting fish at a terminal area and you have one class of harvester that is going to be subject to the tax and another harvester operating on another different contract that's exempt from the tax, I don't think that's fair. And I'll be quiet. Thank you.
Yeah, I haven't paid as much attention, perhaps I should, to this, partially because I just had kind of confidence in the folks that were working it. But I assumed what was going on here was that during the times when the contract harvester got the quota and everything else and water was full of fish, this was a way to get all the fishermen in the area to come and harvest the fish so they don't go to waste and cause those problems and get some small recovery from those guys that did it to help to defray the expenses of the hatchery. But that was a superficial view. Am I wrong?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, no, I think that's the basic idea of the bill, yeah, is to open up what is currently a small number of vessels working with a processor that received the contract by bid to harvest the fish for cost recovery. This just makes it an optional way that if the hatchery chooses to go down this road, they can open it up to a common property fishery.
Yeah, and if I may, I have not, in the years I fished, never fished hatchery fish, but as I watch them in Prince William Sound, I kind of see that when they get to those situations, they're almost desperate to find out a use for those fish. They tell all the sports fishing guys, come over there and snag them. Do anything you can just to have so that they're not wasted, you know. And I assumed this was kind of an incentive to get the commercial guys to come over there and keep the fish from being wasted and get a little recovery off it.
Senator Dyson, through the chair, that may be the case, and if the Prince William Sound Aquaculture Association decided to go down this road, it might apply there at some point for them. I'm not as familiar with some of their particular circumstances here. There are other areas where it would, where they don't have quite the same issue, but the intent is really just to allow the fleets to access more of the fish that were created for the common property users to begin with.
Yeah, and Lisa, I'm sorry. Yeah, and I would suspect that there'd be some market issues for those guys in finding capacity to process them. But that's very specific to the areas, the time and the year run, and the market.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Stedman.
I've got an amendment here I'd like to put in on this bill. And I think it, I thought about maybe doing it later, but I think we ought to just do it now, get it in there, and then maybe we can get it in and out of finance in one meeting. That's going to get blocked up there. Otherwise, we end up lobbying it back and forth.
Is it an amendment that's simple enough we can amend it and move the bill today?
Yeah, I think it is.
Well, let's distribute it and get on with it. That's not the proper procedure, but I want to get this bill moved.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was under the assumption that we were going to have amendments at the second committee, but now if the members of the second committee are going to fix it here, I'm not going to have an opportunity to amend it.
Well, we can always amend it upstairs, too.
Yeah, let's do.
Whatever the pleasure of the committee is.
But I won't be there for a yes vote, though.
I need more copies.
Is there an extra one, Mary?
Again, the language, Mr. Chairman, just specifies a two-thirds vote of the board in the one-year delay, and then two-thirds vote of the board to implement it, and then they have to stay in it for a year.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Dyson?
Yeah, I guess I would be reluctant to vote on the amendment without having some interaction with bill sponsor and kind of figure out some of the implications of what it means to the intention of it. So I guess I'm kind of reacting a little bit to doing the amendment in a hurry.
It's up to the committee, Mr. Chairman. We can always have the amendment deal with it another time, too.
Well,
it's just areas that need to be cleaned up.
We discussed holding this back and then having it done in finance. Right now, this is a pretty lengthy amendment to have this committee take right at this time, I think, without being able to go ahead and review and see what it does to the bill. So I'd rather wait with this and go ahead and put it up.
That'd be fine.
Finance, if you'd like.
Sure.
Senator Dyson?
Are you ready for a motion on the bill?
Yes, sir, I am.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we amend it, or move HB 218 as amended out of committee with individual recommendations, and I don't think there's a fiscal note.
There are fiscal notes. There's nothing.
Yeah, there's with the attached fiscal notes.
We're back in the
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you. But the amendment on the table, it's not been offered, so it was not. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Which is a fine amendment.
Would you change your motion that you're moving 44/W version?
I did move and intended to move the W version.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Is there objection? See no objection to the bill today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If I'd have known you were going to do that, I would have. Oh, pardon me. I thought we were off. Excuse me.
On Monday, we have confirmation of Board of Fish, confirmation Board of Game, and Big Game Commercial Services Board. I'll take up most of our meeting Monday. With that, meeting's adjourned.